Don't have a need to read it. She's memorized it. So, all right, turn with us, if you will, to the book of Acts, chapter 23. The book of Acts, chapter 23, we'll be studying tonight right after the time and concerning the time when Paul did preach all night. And had a fellow tell me one time, he said, "Oh, don't be concerned about how long you preach." Said the Apostle Paul preached all night one time. But you'll find in the Word of God, he never got to go back to that church either. And so it was the last trip through there. Find Acts chapter 23 and also find in your Bibles. I want to read two places tonight from Acts chapter 23 and also from 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll reference both places tonight. We'll read first from Acts chapter 23 and then from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now in 2 Timothy 4, Paul relates to Timothy his recollection of what happened the night of that we find recorded in Acts chapter 23. And so both of the scriptures relate one to another, so I want to try to share both of them with you tonight. When you find those passages of scripture, if you would, stand with us, we'll read the word of the Lord together. I ask that you'd pray for us and help us tonight. Pray that the Lord would enable us, strengthen us, that we might deliver His word as God would see fit. Acts chapter 23, I want to begin reading in verse number 10. Read verses 10 and 11, then go over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Word of God says, "And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down, to take him by force among them, and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." Now turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16. "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Again he said, "No man stood with me. All men forsook me." But verse 17 he says, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. After preaching all night in the place there at Troas, the Bible said the Apostle Paul the next morning departed. And my friend, he left from there and went out to Miletus. And in Miletus, he called the elders of Ephesus together down there to come to him. And there is where he gives his speech to them concerning how that he had kept back nothing. He had kept back nothing that was profitable unto them, but had preached publicly and taught them from house to house of the gospel of the grace of God. He says unto them that he'll see their face no more. It's his last time through. His last journey through. He understands that his day and his time is short. And my friend, he departs from the coast of Miletus and sails of my friend across the Mediterranean Sea out to Tyre and Sidon and then to Caesarea and then on to Jerusalem. There he'd report to Peter and James the progress of the work of the gospel of God amongst the Gentiles. But before arriving in Jerusalem, he stopped at Philip's house. And Philip had four daughters that the Bible said did prophesy. And God dealt with them in a dream. And they came to the Apostle Paul and took his tunic from him and showed him that the man that wore that would be bound in such a specific manner as according to the dream that God had given them. And they all tried to talk the Apostle Paul from even going to Jerusalem. And they said, "If you go, you can surely be bound." But he said, "Don't you know that I'm not willing only to be bound, but to die also for the sake of Christ at Jerusalem." And the Bible said they all left off saying, "The Lord's will be done." And so he went on toward Jerusalem, meets with Peter and James and the leaders of the church, and tells them of the good things that God is doing amongst the Gentiles. And they rejoice together at what the Lord is doing. Now, Peter and James report to him that there's certain amongst the Jews that have ought against Paul for what he's preaching. For he didn't require the Gentiles to be circumcised and follow the laws, the ceremonial laws of Moses. But he rather preached repentance unto God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said some of the Jews here in Jerusalem are in an uproar about this. And as a matter of fact, it'd do some good if it showed them that you're still a devout Jew, converted as it may be, but a devout Jew. And then that you'd put on maybe a make a vow of some kind. And he began to go into the temple and make the vow. But while he was yet worshiping God and praying, they came in and apprehended him. Put him, my friend, and bound him, just as the daughters of Philip had prophesied, and took him to, my friend, the Sanhedrin court. And there they began to try him for, my friend, of preaching the Word of God and of preaching the Gospel of Christ and salvation by grace and grace alone. Paul, having perceived, however, that amongst them there was a contention both of Jews, of Pharisees and of Sadducees. And of course the Pharisees, they believed in spirits, believed in angels, they believed in the resurrection. But the Sadducees didn't believe in much or nothing. And my friend, they surely didn't believe in the resurrection. And Paul began to preach unto them the resurrection of Christ. And says, because of preaching on the resurrection, them folks has got mad at me. And next thing you know, there's a fighting amongst one another. One of them said we like him, the other said we hate him. And they grabbed him, Brother Shannon, by both sides. One by one arm, and the other crowd by the other arm. And the Bible said the Roman soldiers looked down there and said Paul was about to be torn in two. And they went and arrested the man to keep him from being killed. At night they took him to the palace and they put him in bonds. And they bound him in the prison there. And the Bible said he was all alone. Now he came with an entourage as he left out of Miletus. He came with an entourage as he went through Philip's house. I mean, he had Luke and these other boys with him. I mean, Peter and James met him in Jerusalem. But now he's all by himself. He said over there in 2 Timothy that upon my first answer, no man stood with me. From the very time that they bound him, Revelation, from the very time he began to be tried, from that time forward, he stood alone. Oh, my friend. Now, Peter and James, you've got to say they're pretty good Christian boys. I mean, they are the chiefest of the apostles. We're talking about James, the brother of Jesus. I mean, we're talking about authors out of the Word of God. Yet they didn't even stand with Paul. I mean, Luke, the author of the Gospel, Timothy, did not stand with him. He stood all by himself. Oh, but I thank God. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Amen. When he said, I was all by myself, I thought nobody knew. Nobody cared. I mean, I thought I was alone. I looked to my right hand, and nobody was there. I looked to my left, and that failed me. Refuge had failed me. Mom and Dad could do me no good. And yet the Lord stood with me that night. I bless His name. I want to preach, if God will help me this evening, on this thought, the Lord will stand by you. He'll stand by you. I'm glad God's a faithful God. And He saves in a faithful way. Amen. That's right. Oh, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. I'm glad He'll never leave us and never forsake us. Be with us in the sixth trial. Not forsake you in the seventh. He's a faithful God. Brother James, like you told me, he said, son, if you forget everything else in your life that you've ever known about God, you remember this much. God is faithful. I ain't always been faithful to Him and always done right. But I'm glad He's been faithful to me. I thank God. The Lord will stand by you. He'll stand by you. I mean, when the finest of Christians had forsook him. The finest of the folks that knew God had forsook him. I mean, the church was not there. Nobody could do him any good. He was about to be torn apart. Yet, friend, the Lord stood by him. And he said, "Don't fear for your life now, Paul. You're going to have to bear witness to me first here and amongst the Jews. But said, you're going all the way to Rome and bear witness to me there as well." Amen. He sailed out from this place, was shipped on to Felix, and he appealed unto Caesar, was sent on then, my friend, to Festus. And Festus said, "Would turn him loose. Ain't nothing wrong with him. Well, let him go." But he appealed to Caesar. Amen. That's right. They sent him on to Agrippa. And Agrippa said, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to become a Christian." They sent him on to Caesar. When he writes to Timothy, they're just about to cut off his head. But he said, "Don't worry, boys. When I was all by myself, the Lord was standing by me." I read his writing to Timothy. I gotta believe that Paul would have said to me still, "Standing by me, even in the hour of death, he's a standing by my side." Like he has been tormented. It seemed like he has been persecuted. It seemed like he has been mistreated. But the Apostle Paul had forfeited a profitable career in making tents in order to preach the Word of God. And by this time of his ministry, he's virtually bankrupt. Didn't have money to buy a ticket to Rome. But they arrested him and God sent him without a ticket. Amen. Hey, John, I tell the Lord, I'll stand by you and make a way and get his gospel out and provide a way with it, not a way. When all your friends forsake you, when those folks you thought was friends pat you on the back with a knife in their hand, and by the Lord will faithfully always and forever stand by you. Oh, yes, that's right. Thank God. He'll stand by you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll bless His name. I want to say in the sunshine, friend, the Lord will stand by you. I'll tell you, God's a God for more than just times when your family's in a wreck and you got sickness and trouble. He's a God for more than just when the cupboards is bare. He's a God for the times more than just when you're in trouble. But He's a God for the days that the sun's shining and things is a going well. Mark chapter number 9, Jesus, Peter, James, and John up upon a high mountain, and there they fell asleep. While they were sleeping and Jesus was praying, He's transformed into His glorified body. And the day they saw Him transfigured into the heavenly glories, and the robes of the royal God of Him, and it shone like a midday sun. And my friend, they woke up, and in the midst of the sunshine, the Lord was standing by them. I ain't got along with my friend old Moses and Elijah talking about the death, burial, crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus. I'll tell you, Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. I'm glad I know what it's like to be where He shines on me, manifest His presence, becomes real to my soul. I'm glad I know what it is to be in His glory. I know what it is to feel His power. I know what the anointing and unction is. I bless His name. Hey, we'll not have church without Him. We'll not worship without Him. We'll not preach or pray or praise without Him. But I'm glad we come together in His house. That's how I magnify Him. Hallelujah. He'll stand by us. Reveal Himself. Shout His lies. Magnify His glory. Hallelujah. The Lord will stand by you. Oh, yes. The Lord will stand by you in the sunshine. I want to say He'll stand by you in the storm. Amen. That's right. Sure it is. As Paul leaves this place where he's arrested in chapter 23, moves on from court to court. They set him in a ship in chapter 27 along with the other prisoners. And the Bible said they began to sail in the wintertime through that Mediterranean Sea. And he warned them not to go. Said it'll not be a profitable journey. But the Bible said the captain of the ship would not hear him. And he said the soft wind, the south wind blew softly. And now in that time when the south wind blew, it meant blowing a soft breeze. It meant that there's coming good weather. It meant there's coming good times. But the man of God said, it ain't what you think it is. Bad times is on the way. I'll tell you today, the sun can be a shining, and tomorrow can be a storm. Today everything can be bright. Everything can be good. And by the time you turn around twice, your life's in the biggest storm you've ever been in. You're in the biggest mess you've ever been in your life. I mean, your whole world can be torn apart. This Saturday, before 4 weeks ago, took my wife in, and we had left real estate closing. I was heading on to the hospital to have a baby. And, I mean, everything looked like it had gone good. Been a whole lot easier this time up to that point than it was with our first in it. Boy, we thought everything was fine and headed on in towards that my friend in that hospital have a baby. And, oh, everything looked like it was going good and we was happy. And, I mean, we just anticipated by midnight or so. We'd really be happy and everything be going well. I mean, there's no signs to tell us otherwise. We was just basking in the sunlight. But my friend, by the time 4 o'clock the next morning come, the storm clouds done broke loose. I mean, friend, I laid there, sit there on beside the hospital bed of my wife. And my friend, I watched her as she fell into pain. And the baby wouldn't come. Oh, and they said, see, someone said, we're going to have to operate. And one of the doctors looked at them and shook their head. Oh, she would never make it if we did. And man, my heart sunk to the bottom of my stomach. Oh, just a few hours before, the sun was a shining. But before I could blink my eyes, the storm clouds had come up. Oh, but I bless His name. The Lord will stand by you in the storms. Hey, God, she's here tonight. The baby's well. Everybody's fine. I bless His high holy name. I'll tell you, friend of the Apostle Paul, the Bible said the storm did come. They got in trouble. They said, we're going to die, and that's all there is to it. But Paul said, sirs, be of good cheer. Said, the Lord stood by me this night. Woo! He'll stand by you in the midst of your storms, in the midst of the storm clouds. I'm glad He's faithful. He'll stand by you. In the sunshine, He'll stand by you. In the storm, He'll stand by you. Matter of fact, it got so bad, Paul said, we're fixing to lose a ship. But ain't nobody going to die. Now, who ever heard of shipwreck in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea and nobody a dying? I mean, this thing's about to be torn apart. Not just sinking it in the middle of the sea without a storm, but sinking it in the midst of the sea in the storm. I mean, who in the world would have thought that anybody would live through that? But Paul said to see him, the ship's going to sink, but ain't nobody going to die. Amen. Somebody said, the ship of my life is broken. I'm glad the Lord's just standing by you. He can still land your feet safely on the other shore. Amen. Hey, you come into a place where two seas met. You rock the night storm. And it tore the ship apart. And Paul said, you can swim, jump overboard, and head for land. Those of you that can't, grab your board or a broken piece and head to shore. Somebody said, my life's a wreck. It's just broken pieces. Well, when Jesus is standing by you, if you'll take your broken pieces, I think He'll see you safe and sure. I bless His name. There's not a storm hard enough that the Lord won't stand by you, but He'll stand by you. In the midst of the storm, In the sunshine, He'll stand by you. In the storm, He'll stand by you. I want to say, in the strife with Satan, the Lord will stand by you. Amen. In the strife with Satan, the Lord will stand by you. There are some forces you're going to face in this world that are not trials and tribulations. They're not difficult spots that you're going through. They're just battlegrounds with the devil. I mean, he's a seeking to kill and to steal and destroy. He's a trying to devour, seeking whom he may devour. Amen, that's right. I mean, he don't love you. He don't love your young'uns. He don't love your family. He's out to destroy your life. There'll be a strife. If you're saved, you're going to fight some battles with the devil. There'll be a strife to fight with the devil. The three Hebrew children down in Babylonian captivity had a fight to fight. Oh, my friend, oh, Nebuchadnezzar built him that up. That was an image of himself. Played his wicked music. When he played his style of music, everybody worshipped his God. I'll tell you, the same thing happens now. Amen. That's right. That's right, friend. Hadn't it, my friend? Some of them's God's been a-fallen last day or two, hadn't he? Amen. Picked up that pedophile out there in California. Locked him up. To God be the glory. I hope they try him and throw away the key. Amen. Oh, that's right. You let your young'uns listen to that mess, and you listen to it yourself. Ain't no wonder you're so worldly. Amen. Oh, that's right. Them three Hebrew children said, we're not going to pay attention to your song. We're not bound to your idol. We're not going to live like you Babylonians live. We might be in Babylon, but we ain't got to do as the Babylonians. Amen. We might be in the world, but we're not of the world. And we don't have to act like the world. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar said, well, buddy, you don't have to. But if you don't, you're going to pay the price. He said, we're going to throw you in the furnace. They said, oh, King, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. And they said, but if not, he will deliver us out of your hand. And we're still not going to bow to your life. Amen. They threw him in the furnace. Oh, King fogged up his glasses. I wiped them suckers off. And said, fellows, didn't we throw three men down in the furnace that they swore him? And the fourth is not the Son of God. Somebody said, he's the fourth man in the fire. I said, he's the first in him. Amen, that's right. He won't let you go in the fire. Well, now he goes in ahead of you. Amen. Hey, somebody said, wait a minute, friend. He's the first in him. And he never come out. You know where he is? Still in the fire waiting for us. And so when our strife comes, and our battle comes, I bet the Lord will stand by you. That's right. What's it we was talking about? What's it mean you was talking about him trying that silver and that gold with fire? Ain't that right? I believe we was talking about that. How it put us in the fire and take us out again. Take that, use it to boil our lives. I mean, that old silversmith, they should put that silver in there and get it so hot that the silver would melt. And then he'd reach in and scoop out all the filth that is in it. You see, the silver was heavier than the contaminants in it. And the contaminants would float to the top. He'd reach in and scoop the contaminants out and leave the silver in. It's stick it back in the fire and boil again. It repeats the process until he had them pure. God's letting you fight the battles and go through the fires. Not that he might kill you, but that he might refine you and perfect you and make you fit to be in his glory. Thank God. I bless his name. Every time he puts us in the fire, he's there with us. The Lord will stand by you. Amen. I bless his name. He'll stand by you, friend, in the sunshine. He'll stand by you in the storm. He'll stand by you in the strife with Satan. I want to say tonight, he'll stand by you in the struggles of the flesh. It may seem mighty super spiritual. Everybody at church might think you really got it. Born real close to God. But the reality is, you're living in the same mess that I am. Amen, that's right. Give me a drink of water and I'll get another breath. Preach about an hour. The truth is, you're living the same thing I am. I mean, friend, the same thing that bothers me every day bothers you. This old rag we're living in. Amen. I mean, that's what's given all of us fits. Here's this thing we're living in. The Apostle Paul, the one we're preaching about tonight. The Apostle Paul has said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Oh, my friend, this whole thing we're living in, it's flesh. And the flesh is an enmity with God. I mean, it flees from the highest good. It runs and seeks to do evil. It's opposed to the will of God. I mean, we fight a battle and struggle with the flesh. How long you been saved? Doesn't matter how many years you've known God. Doesn't matter how old you are, how many times you read through the Bible. Till you die and get out of this world, you're still going to have to contend with the flesh. Amen. And the things you have to fight against with it is different now, Brother Dixon, than it was 35 years ago. But it's still the flesh. That's right. My granddaddy used to say from time to time, me and him preach revival and thanks together. And he'd tell the folks how wonderful it was for us to get to preach together. I remember one night I was preaching out of the wood. I was 16-year-old and he was preaching one meeting and I'd preach the next. And he told that crowd that night, "It's a blessing for us to get to preach together." He said, "Most of them thinks I'm too old and thinks he's too young." Amen. Our flesh was offering different hindrances. But it's still the flesh. Amen. And there's still a struggle to fight. Amen. Some of you young Christians think when you get mature in the Lord, you won't have to battle this so much. Let me take clue again on something. It'll never go away. Oh, Jacob is a young man living at home. He was a heel snatcher. That's what the name Jacob means. As he came out of his mother's womb along with his brother Esau, the Bible said he reached and grabbed Esau by the heel. And there from that day forward, he was always trying to trip up his brother. He's a con man. He's a heel snatcher. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. I mean, as a young man, he deceived his brother and has given away his birthright. He deceived his father out of his brother's blessing. Lied to his mom and dad. I mean, deceived his father-in-law. I mean, he lived a life of deception. The day came in his life where he felt like he had overcome the flesh. Oh, yes, that's right. And he headed back toward Bethel with his wives and his youngins and all his cattle and all his possessions. But when he got to a river to cross, he sent them across first. But he was alone on the land. And just before he stepped in, there's a fellow grabbed him, threw him to the ground, and beat the devil out of him all night long.
Amen.
Two wrestled all night long. But Shannon, these little youngins around here wrestle sometimes. We was talking the other night about these little boys wanting to wrestle. You were telling me you took yours and maybe wrestled a little bit rougher than what you thought you maybe should have by now. These young wrestle. They wrestle all night and not hurt one another. Next morning, not even be tired. But me and you, Brother Shannon, go around tonight. And we start out right about now and wrestle the date break. Somebody's going to get hurt. And we're both going to be tired. And chances are somebody's going to get us a bone broke or two. Two grown men fighting with all that's in them all night long. It typifies the way old Jacob had lived his whole life. I mean, every day of his life he'd wrestled. He'd wrestled with his flesh. He'd wrestled with God. He'd wrestled with his past. He'd wrestled with guilt. I mean, every day of his life he spent wrestling. Wrestling with the things he'd done. The wrongs he'd done against people. Wrestling with his brothers. Wrestling with his family. Wrestling mostly more than anything else with the lust of his own flesh. And that night he wrestled all night long. But you know what happened to him? Come near the daybreak, he began... Now, he's right in the middle of fighting this fella all night. Now, you think about this. Me and you fights all night. It's so dark, I can't see my hand in front of my face. All I know is this fella's been trying to kill me.
And I've been trying to kill him. And all night we've been wrestling. I mean, I'm beat all to pieces. And finally it starts to get daybreak. And he just quits whooping me. I mean, just sets loose and just quits fighting. And just starts to walk off. And starts to leave. Oh, Jacob said, no, you ain't leaving. And he grabbed hold of him. Amen, that's right. And when he did, that old fella threw him on the ground and took advantage of him. I mean, just really took the upper hand. When he did that, he did it in such a powerful way. Jacob understood that what had him was not a human being, and it was not a man, but it was the Lord he was wrestling with that night. And he said, oh, the man said, let me go. Jacob said, I'll not let you go till you bless me. And so God gave him a blessing. He broke his leg. Sound like a blessing, don't it? That's the kind of blessing most of us is looking for, is it? I mean, give me a blessing, Lord. He says, all right, I'll do it. And breaks his leg. That's right, friend. Knocked his thigh, slam out of joint, and he left out of there. Amen, that's right. And listen, I said, Jacob had been wrestling with his flesh all of his life. He said, Lord, bless me. But the Bible knew, God knew, the God of glory knew, my friend, that Jacob could not be blessed until first he was broken. Amen. Hey, listen, he couldn't bless, could not distribute the bread and feed the 5,000 till he had broken it and blessed it. The body of Jesus was not fit to save us until it was broken on Calvary. Amen. And Jacob could not overcome his flesh and could not be blessed of God until first he was broken. Amen. That's right. Right now you might not be understanding it. I mean, you may feel like you fought the old flesh all you can. You feel like God's breaking you. But he may just be a blessing you. And in your weakness and in your infirmity, he may be making you strong. Paul said, take the thorn out. God said, my grace is sufficient. I'll tell you, sometimes he's got to break us in order to bless us. Jacob shuttled around like a fireman stick or something, I can imagine. Doesn't tell us how he got across the river. Now, a fellow with a broke leg got to figure out some way. Ain't nobody over there to help him. His wife and his young'uns, all of his servants is on the other side of the river, just been waiting on him all night. They must have been worried sick about him. I mean, I got to imagine all night long they've been wringing their hands. I mean, all night long they've been worried if some animal to eat him or something or other. What might have happened to him? I mean, they surely heard the tussle. They heard the fighting going on. They're tumbling about in the field across on the other side of the river. But the next morning's come around. Jacob grabs him a stick, makes him a crutch. And he himself heads across the river. Now, I can see him as he starts to come across the river. Brother Shannon, he's on a crutch. His leg's broke. He's been wrestling all night long. I imagine his eyes is probably black. Maybe both of them swollen, nearly shut. Lip busted open, blood run all down his shirt. Nose is broken, busted. His ribs and his body's just beat all up and bruised. Overall gallus is torn off. I mean, he's coming across that river on that crutch. And that one good leg, he's just coming across. He looks, my friend, like he's been to hell back. All of his family must have run to him. And Rachel and Leah must have said, oh, honey, you okay? Are you all right? What in the world happened to you? He smiled without his teeth in his mouth. Looked through them swollen black eyes. Blood running down his face. And said, I just got me a blessing. I'll tell you, friends, sometimes in this life, the world looks at us and the battles that we face in this place, and they think God's trying to kill us, whether it be bouts with sickness or disease, trouble in our family or our homes, ministerial burdens that fall upon us, and they think our lives are burdened, and maybe we're broken, that God can make our trial a blessing. God can break us and bless us, and the world might not understand. Oh, while we're struggling with the flesh, the Lord's are standing by us and helping us.
in ways we can't understand. Amen. Until He gets done with us.
Amen. Exactly what it is God's got planned for us. What it is He's doing to us or for us or in us. For you, if the Lord's just standing by you. Things He's doing to you and in you and with you will be profitable for you.
Amen.
Jesus said that it is time for Him to be glorified. Now if you'll watch Him from when He says that, Brother Dixon, He's not headed to the right hand of God. He's headed to Calvary. Time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Glorifying Him did not involve, my friend, magnifying Him on earth and making Him a king, or even sending Him to glory and setting Him beside the throne. He was glorified because He was broken. In our lives, a lot of times, we always seeking for God to do something for us, bring glory to us, or somehow or another bring some help, kind of help to us, or some pleasure to us, some peace to us. When what we may need more than anything else is for Him to break us.
Amen.
Put us in a position where we cannot help ourselves. Put us in a position where we're out of options. That's the way sometimes He works.
Amen.
To get us saved.
Amen.
You remember when it was that you got born again in the family of God? How many conviction power didn't come to you, pat you on the back, tell you what a wonderful good fellow you was, and how great you were, and how good it'd be if God could get a hold of such a good fellow like you and put him in His family, how good a job you'd do serving the Lord? How many conviction didn't do that? But it broke you down, made you realize how low down, how sorry, how ungodly, how unworthy you were. But He, my friend, was not trying to kill you. Here's a breaking you down that He might bless you, that He might birth you in the family of God. I'll tell you, friend, in the struggles with the flesh, the Lord will stand by us, and it might be to break us, but before it's all said and done, it'll be to bless us.
Amen.
You may be a servant on Sunday night. I mean, I'll tell you, friend, the past year or two, we've had more sickness in our family, and the more trouble, more trial, and more difficulty than I've ever seen in my life. Oh, but God seen fit through all of it to bless us. Some of you knows that last year, about this time, my grandmother was diagnosed with cancer. Brother Dixon, she'd saved up a lot of vacation time things teaching school there, so to try to take care of her mama in case Miss Goldner or any of them got bad sick, or my granddaddy maybe had to go back in the hospital or something or other if he had to, for his back has been giving so many troubles so many years. And she might have to take care of them, nothing wrong with her, and she's strong enough to lasso the moon, you know. And so she was trying to save up them days for that. And little did she know that she'd be the one that it hit. And it set in on a kidney. And you can't live without them. And they couldn't find it for the longest time. They finally found it in the kidney. And they said, we're going to have to operate. And this is what we're going to have to do. And there's a 40% chance you'll live. And this is all the chances. This is all your options. And sit her on to St. Joseph's. And I mean, friend, she's ready to go in the surgery. And I thought to myself, oh God, here it is. She's been a preacher's girl. She's been a preacher's wife. She's been a faithful pastor's wife. Lord, she's a ballad and taking care of everybody else so much and trying to live for you and do right. And Lord, you know how much so many different people need her and how bad a shape we all would be without her. And Lord, why in the world would you throw it on her? Oh, and that's when this passage for old Jacob first came to my mind in this fashion. And he said, I'm not trying to break her so as to kill her, but I'm trying to bless her. A time till about. And she's going in for the surgery. And Brother Dixon, we all gathered around in that hospital room. There's about 30 of us. And we was all crying, but Granny wasn't crying. She was just rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Had Mama gone come in, she wasn't crying. She just come by where Granny was. And she patted her on the face. Her little old girl now is laying on the bed about to have surgery. Had cancer in her kidney. She patted her on the face. And she said, hon, just be a good soldier and the Lord will stand by you. Woo!
She said, I know more than anything else. I must lean on Jesus. They wheeled her out of that room. Hey, thank God. 5 or 6 hours come back. Said, we believe we got it all. We think everything's going to be all right. But that night she liked to die. Heart rate and everything fell. All the doctors thought she was a goner. But the Lord stood by her again. Amen. That's right. At the Catholic hospital, them ladies would have known God in a 40-acre field with a name tag on. But when Granny prayed and she shouted, and we wept and cried and prayed together, as some of them nurses and doctors wanted to get in where that was, and talking about the kind of God we serve, and the reality of beginning being able to have access to the throne room of grace, not having to depend on a priest or Mary to pray through for us, to thank God having freedom to reach God in prayer.
He wasn't a breaking her to hurt her. He was a breaking her to bless her. We all wondered, Brother John, how come it hit her so fast? She was doing great. The day they took her in and found the cancer she had taught school that day. And we wondered why it hit her so fast. Why it hit her when it did. Soon as what she got to where she could take care of herself and do anything, that summer, soon as what she did, it had been 2 weeks she'd been taking care of herself. And the church one night, my granddaddy was sitting in a pew and keeled over the floor. Heart stopped beating. His body turned blue. They thought he was going to die, and that's all there was to it, right there in the middle of Pine Ridge Church, 2 days after he'd been elected their pastor. And killed over right there on the floor. Some of them ran to where he was, began slapping him in the face and trying to get him alert and all. And they took and held, rushed him away to the hospital. And they said, oh, if you hadn't been there and had folks hadn't been where they were and they hadn't alerted you and got your body alert again, I said, you just passed on out of this life. And my friend, he looked around though beside his bed. Granny was just sitting there. She's fully recovered, thank God. Everything is doing right. She's a toting his clothes and bringing his food, and God kept his heart running while her kidneys is full of cancer. Got her well before his heart stopped. I mean, somebody said, looks like they've been broke a lot. They might have been broke, but they surely were blessed. I tell you, man, face a struggle with a face, but regardless of what you're facing, the Lord will stand by you, work everything out for his glory, and they are benefits. Oh, and the strife of Satan and the sword and the sunshine and the struggles of the flesh, the Lord will stand by you. On Saturday night, in supplication and prayer, the Lord will stand by you. In supplication and prayer, the Lord will stand by you. God told Abraham, an old man whose body was dead, his wife's womb being dead also, never had more children, that they'd have a son, and he'd make their name as a great name among the earth. And he'd multiply his seed as the sands of the seashore and the stars of the heavenly world. That's right, friend. Yet Abraham believed God and trusted in God against hope. He believed in hope and counted God that he is able and trusted in God. And God wanted to renew the covenant with him in Genesis chapter number 15. And he told him to go up and to bring these certain offerings up on the mountain and then make a covenant one with another. And now this is what they're doing this day. They'd take and cut that animal open. And to my friend, they make a covenant. Then they grab hands one with another. And this is what they'd do, preacher. They'd get up at all that animal care cut in two. The two of them together would make a promise. They'd walk through the animal, friend. It's divided parts. They'd state the promise, walk back through it again. And they'd state one to another that if either of us breaks this covenant, one will do unto the other as the animal that lays on the floor on the ground. Well, Abraham divided up his animals. Divided
fired up the sacrifice, and he waited for God to show up. And as he prayed, as his heart waited in supplication for God, God never did show up. Oh, Abram took and fought the fowls and fought the birds off of the sacrifice. Oh, else the animals eat it up. But God never showed up. In exhaustion, he fell on his face and went to sleep. But while he was asleep, God showed up. Hey, and a pillar of fire and a burning lamp. He went through the sacrifice all by himself. And since he could swear by no other, he swore by himself. Hallelujah. And he said, Abraham, my promises are not dependent on the weakness of your flesh and the deadness of Sarah's womb, but upon the power of God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Somebody said, there ain't nothing me and God can't handle. Take you out of picture and you're right. Amen. I'll tell you, he'll stand by you. When you prayed, you wept till you can't shed another tear. You can't go another mile. You fell in exhaustion. I met the Lord. Will stand by you. He'll stand by you. I thank God. I prayed, my friend, and I couldn't pray anymore. Oh, God was never going to answer my prayers. And what's the time I gave up and gave out? Hallelujah! He kept in and answered my prayers and surprised me and delivered me and manifested himself in the fire of the Holy Ghost in my life. Help me! The Lord will stand by you. Moses in Exodus 33, verse number 9, entreated the Lord. And the Bible said that as they all Israel stood in the door of their tents and watched the tabernacle in the midst of the congregation, that there's a pillar of smoke come down and stood in the door right beside old Moses and talked to him face to face as a man talketh to his friend. Thank God. Oh, I'm glad prayer is more than words and bent knees. But it's communication with God. And in times of supplication, the Lord will stand by you. He'll stand by you in the sunshine, in the storms, in the strife of Satan, in the struggles of the flesh. He'll stand by you in the days of supplication. I want to say, friend, in the shadow of death, the Lord will stand by you. The psalmist David said in Psalm 23 and 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, I'm so glad he'll never leave me. There's not a dark enough hour. There's not a midnight dark enough. There's not a storm cloud dark enough. Even in the shadow of death, when nobody else can help, the best friends you've got and won't fail as now. The doctors pulled the curtain and shook his head. Oh, you said to give up hope. A church can't go any farther. I'm there when nobody else can go. The Lord will stand by you. Wow! Hallelujah! He'll stand by you! Paul said, no man stood with me. No withstanding. The Lord stood by me that night. He'll stand by you. God is faithful. I'm done preaching. You come on with a song. Lord will stand by you. I wish that I could say tonight, since the day I've been saved, I've always done what is right. I say that. Say I never failed God. Failed against the Lord. Never forsook the way of God. I failed God so many times. I'm not proud of that.
disappointed him time and again. But I've never been disappointed in Jesus. And he's always been faithful to me. Stood for what is right. Because he stood for the right, he stood alone. His days, if you stand for what's right, you'll stand alone. These folks in this building tonight that's lost don't know God. You come get saved tonight, everybody in this church, for the most part, is going to be tickled to death for you. When you walk out them doors, everybody ain't going to be glad of it. Everybody ain't going to jump up and down because you got right with God. There's going to be a lot of folks forsake you. There's going to be days when you feel like you're all by yourself. But may I assure you that the Lord will always stand by you. Hallelujah. I bless His name. Well, Paul stood for what is right, so he stood alone, notwithstanding the Lord stood by him. Paul stood for God, and the Lord stood with him. Won't ever be found standing. He's a faithful God. Are you a faithful servant? He'll stand by you. Will you stand for Him? All men forsake you, He'll stand by you. When all forsake Him, will you stand by Him? When it's not popular, will you stand? When it's not pleasing to the crowd, will you stand? When it's not filled with pleasures, when it's not easy, when it don't feel good, will you stand? He stood for God, and God stood by Him. The Lord will stand by you. I don't know tonight your need. I don't know what you need to pray about. But I assure you tonight, whatever you need, the Lord's already standing by. He's on standby tonight with His arms open wide just waiting to hear your cry. Waiting to help you tonight. Waiting to hear your prayer. Waiting to answer you and give you what you need. If you'll but call on Him, He'll help you and stand by you. Would you stand? You need to come. Do business with God. You come. What's your number, brother? Just as I am, you need to come pray. You come do business with God tonight. Lord, I wouldn't wait for the second verse. Wouldn't even wait for the first. I'd just come now and do business with God, friend. And the Lord will stand by you. Sing, if you will. You come do business with the Lord if you need to pray. Would you come? Would you come? Stand for God. He'll stand by you. Just tell them, I'm coming with all my hang-ups. The struggles I have with my flesh, all of my weaknesses, bring it to the Lord, knowing I cannot stand alone. But knowing if I'll stand for Him, He'll stand by me. I can count on Him, depend on Him. Can He count on you tonight? You need to come pray. You come. Do business with the Lord. Be obedient to God. And let the Lord help you.